Rest of the week, we have Aristocrats. The Aristocrats is playing on HBO. The show here in Vegas is going great. How's your show going?
That's fantastic.
And it's time for, as far as I can tell, fun. And then as we have fun, you turn on the TV, you open your computer, and there's Anderson Cooper just dip, about how bad it is. And there's everybody just talking about World War III, the Muslims, the terrorists, everything else. So we've decided that we're going to take time out of our funny, busy schedule, explain the Middle East problem today, get it done with, and then go back to fun. This is the equivalent of Daddy giving us our T-Bird back. We are going to have fun forever. Let me explain who you're going to hear on the phone today. We did a lot of shows on Bulls Hit where we made fun of Christians, and somebody from the Catholic group said that we didn't make enough fun of Jews, but damn, I think we did. I think we covered Christian Jews, and we got the weirdest letter, which I can't quote, but we got the weirdest letter from somebody who was clearly had a Muslim name, and who was saying that we were unfair because we attacked Christians, we attacked Jews, and we did not attack Muslims, and wanted to know why. And I answer, as you know, not many direct letters, but I answered this one because it was so kind of psychotic, and I turned into kind of having an email relationship with this wonderful woman whose name I'm going to try to say right now, Banafshe Zan Benazi. Is that close?
That is absolutely perfect.
And I am going to kind of sort of, I will be heckling and I'll be asking stupid questions, but I'm kind of sort of going to turn the show over to Banafshe. And you've got an hour, Banafshe. You're from Iran. You know this stuff. Explain to us what's going on in the Middle East, how we're going to fix it, and see if you can get that done so that we can once again have fun that's not oblivious but clear-conscious fun, okay? And the phone number is 866-570-PEN. If you don't have letters on your phone, that's 7366. 866-570-PEN. That's penradio@gmail.com. Penradio.com if you want to ask any questions to Banafshe. And I'll promise you that if you're not comfortable with her name, I now have it in front of me phonetically written out, so I'll say it as many times as you want. So, Banafshe, who are you? Why do you know this? What's wrong with the Middle East? How do we fix it? You've got an hour.
Okay. Well, first of all, let me start out by saying that my name isn't a Muslim name at all. It's a purely Persian name. And you have to know that Iran is not an Arab country. It never has been. It never will be. We are a country of Aryans, the first Aryans. So Hitler was completely psychotic and a liar when he claimed to be
among
an
those other
Aryan
problems.
Because the first Aryans and the real Aryans, in fact, are the people who basically came along the Silk Road and ended up conglomerating in what is now Iran and the ancient Persia, and basically.
But wait a second, man. You are not saying that Hitler was right, he just had the wrong people, are you?
No, I'm saying that Hitler was just off his rocker, period.
Hey, you hear that, people? If you want to call up and argue with that, 866-570-PEN. I said she'd be controversial. She just said Hitler was off his rocker. Go ahead.
But the fact of the matter is that we are an ancient culture. We used to have our own religion until 1400 years ago. The Arab armies from the Arab Peninsula, I should say, what is now present-day Saudi Arabia, rode into our country, killed 900,000 people within the first month. The great Muhammad, who everybody absolutely adores and worships, in fact, was, for that day and age, obviously we can't sort of judge history out of context because even the Saxons and Normans were cutting each other's jugglers open at that point. But still, the fact is that we ended up being killed and stomped on by Arabs who wanted to shove their religion down our throats. And well, so throughout all these years, throughout 1400 years, we have fought them. There was a moment of calm and rationality within the Islamic world, and that was during the time of Salah ad-Din and during the part of the Crusades when actually the Christians were the ones who were acting nuts. But in this case, the fact that people do not understand that, in fact, this is the Arab way, this is the Islamic way, it is to proselytize by the sword.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is that if you do not want to believe by, you know, willingly, we'll make you believe because that's just the way it is. And on September 10th of 1683, King Jan Sobieski of Poland drove the Islamic forces back from Vienna, and that is why actually September 11th is September 11th, because it was picked up from the last date that Islam, in the sense of an army riding in to take over, or to, let's say, to be kinder, kinder and gentler, to proselytize their religion, was on September 10th of 1683.
Wait a minute. I have seen a lot of stuff I've read about September 11th. Has that been printed anywhere, that the date was not arbitrary?
You know, I've read various reports from people who sort of wanted to dismiss it, but realistically speaking, when you read a lot of the transcripts of speeches that were given by Bin Laden and so on, and a lot of the Taliban sheikhs, you'll see that in fact there are many references made to the last stand and how things have to be picked up from where they left off, which really, realistically and rationally speaking, one has to sort of then delve into history and try to pick out the information from a correct standpoint.
We have zillions of guys in like the CIA and stuff like that who must be really familiar with all this history stuff. Why weren't they a little tense on every September 11th? I mean, why do we, are we really, are, I mean, not us. I mean, I know that I am 100% ignorant, but are the people that are in charge of protecting us as ignorant of the Middle East as it sometimes seems?
Yes.
that's a one-word answer.
Thanks for calling.
I have had dealings with most of these people, and first of all, I have to tell you, like a lot of people in Washington, and I'm not talking about administration, I'm talking about the politicos, the career politicians, the people who are scratching at the walls to get the information out in order to make themselves look good, who are careerists, I should say, those people are generally so narcissistic, so self-congratulatory, that it nauseates me. Because, you know, as an Iranian who has been fighting this scourge since 1979, thank you very much, Mr. Carter and Mr. Brzezinski and Mr. Ramsey Clark, you know, those people never want to listen, and we have been at it for 28 years trying to explain to them and trying to get them to understand, and like every pompous politico on this planet, they have thought that, oh yeah, well, we can sort of bat those people down. They're just a bunch of ticked off Muslims, and we can definitely sort of, you know, fight them if push came to shove. And meanwhile, you know, don't forget that these mullahs in Iran are, after all, Iranian, and we in Iran did invent chess.
Now, Banafshe, before you go on, I want to hear a little bit about, you know, why we're listening to you, that is to say, your background. But first, before we go any further, I want to take one phone call of someone that's asking a question about something you already said and you haven't even gotten into the meat of it.
Sure.
Let's take John. John, you're talking to Penn and Godot, and you've also got Banafshe on the line. You want to say something here?
All right. Penn, how you doing? It's John.
How you doing, John?
I'm a big fan of yours, and I love your show, but I just wanted to make one statement. When she said the calendar was September 10th and 11th, the Islamic calendar is totally different than that. How can it really mean anything?
It's not different in that it doesn't mean that just because the Islamic calendar moves around what is the Christian calendar. It has something to do with the fact that it's based on, that date is based on the Christian calendar. It's responding to when on the Christian timetable things ended up changing, not on the Muslim calendar. You're mixing two different ideas up, legitimately so, but you have to think of it this way. That happened September 11th. They're not calculating it based on when it happened on the Islamic calendar, and yes, the Islamic calendar certainly moves around and and you know rotates on the Christian calendar because it is a solar calendar, whereas the Christian calendar is not. However, the bottom line is that they didn't calculate it based on, they didn't calculate the attack based on what would have been the Islamic equivalent of the date. They calculated it based on what is the Christian equivalent.
That's what I was thinking. That's why I was questioning. I was just curious.
Well, cool.
That's all I really wanted to say.
Thanks
no,
a lot,
it's a
John.
Very good question. Your question is duly noted. You're right.
Thanks a lot, John. What I want to do before we get up to present day here is I'm so fascinated by your background. Could you give us a really brief bio of,
sure.
of you and your husband?
Sure. Well, let me just start out by saying that I've been fighting myself, the Islamic Republic, for the last 28 years. And before that, Iranians have been fighting Islamofascism actively for 100 years since the democratization of Iran in the Constitutional Revolution of 1906. However, myself, my husband and I are both... political scientist in that, he actually studied political science. I basically am a self-taught person. I have been educated in a family of people who've been political all their lives, and they're all scholars, and they're judges, and economists, and activists, and historians, and so forth. I basically, for 20 years, just fought as going to demonstrations, organizing demonstrations, handing out leaflets, and then, of course, when the internet came around, it made our lives a lot easier. But then in 1999, the student uprising in Tehran, where 283 students were killed, the dorms were set on fire by the Islamic regime, basically really got me to the point where I thought, this is just outrageous. Our kids are being killed off, and the Western world is just sitting there completely unwilling to accept what is happening, that the most secular and the most important part of the future of Iran and the Iranian society's Democrats, I should say, are being killed off and nobody's doing anything. And then about 6 months later, my own father was kidnapped by the regime's authorities, and he was put in prison, and then I had to sort of take off the gloves full-time and go for it tooth and nail. And that's what I've been doing since 2000.
Now, the real question, I'm going to ask you to kind of step back, and let's just assume, just for the sake of argument, that I don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to play that part perfectly. It's going to be a method acting thing. I've been preparing for this part for a long time by knowing nothing. But you now live in New York City, is that right?
Yes, that's
and you're,
correct.
You're an American citizen, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, let's just say that all the laws change. You have to be born in the U.S., and you are now president of the United States. At this second, you are George W. Bush. What do you do? What do you do to solve what's going on with Israel over in Lebanon, the whole Middle East? What do you do?
Well, first of all, I would go out there and bring intelligent Democrats such as Joe Lieberman or Barbara Mikulski out and say, folks, could you please stand by me over here and make sure that people in this country understand that the issues of Islamofascism and terrorism transcends the nature of our partisan Punch and Judy bashing, and that we have to stand together, and that we can't make we can't basically let our security be sacrificed for people in a sort of a spoiled and entitled way think they have to give up for 6 months, 10 months, 1 year, 2 years in order for us all to be able to survive this madness. Sometimes people have to prioritize. You have to take 5 steps back in order to take 5-10 steps forward. And in this case, the American people have to realize that if it smells like a fish, it looks like a fish, it is a fish. And I have no reason to lie if that was a fantastic government and those people were absolutely wonderful, because believe me, I do have friends who are Ayatollahs, and they are the most loving, dear people in the world as far as I'm concerned. But you know what? Those Ayatollahs are peace-loving, dear, sweet people, and those other Ayatollahs are just a bunch of Nazis
now,
who have killed millions of people.
Now, you talk about you know, sacrifice, and you also, and I this is kind of a pet peeve of mine, you use the word spoiled, and yes, the U.S. is doing fabulously. We have wealth. We have, you know, compared to other places, phenomenal freedom, and that's the way the whole world should be. You don't bring us down. You try to bring everybody else up.
I agree.
But what I'm saying is, if we are willing, and whenever you say a war on terrorism or fighting terrorism, it rings to me like a war on drugs or family values or one of those. It seems so nebulous. What do you do? Are you talking about making the U.S. safer? Are you talking about cleaning up over there?
I'm talking about people raising their consciousness about the fact that not everybody thinks and lives according to the way they think and live.
You're talking like Bono here. You're saying that all that we need is consciousness. What do we need to know?
It's not that. It's about being educated enough to understand that what you want isn't necessarily what the other guy wants. And I give this as an example. The mentality of a jihadi is based on a 1400-year-old seething. They do not think about, in other words, their scope isn't 5 minutes like people's scope is in the rest of the world, where they think they live for the present and the history is something that is wonderful as a form of reference, as a story. These people carry, it's like a scab that has been gathering scar tissue for 1400 years and has ended up turning into an infection that these people carry around. And imagine having to live with someone who basically carries their psychological baggage around, and that psychological baggage is generations long.
I'm going to interrupt you here mostly because we have to take a break. What I want to talk about when we get back a lot is the difference in the idea of the individual. I've done very little traveling, but I was in India, I was in China, and I was in Egypt. And the thing that blew my mind that I never even considered when I was hadn't been out of the U.S. was the idea of an individual person is so different in our country than it is in other cultures. And I want to talk about that more because I think that might be one of the cruxes of this.
Indeed.
866-570-PEN, 7366 is the phone number. We're going to talk more about the Middle East. We have Banif Shay, Zand Bonazzi on the air. We'll be back after this. You know, this is Penn Jillette sitting with fellow juggler Michael Goudeau. We're talking to Banif Shay, Zand Bonazzi.
Bonazzi.
Yes, Bonazzi. There's no sound in there. But I'm going to call you Banif Shay because I'm so proud of being able to say that. The phone number is 866-570-PEN, 7366. And boy, Michael Goudeau, is my face red, because when we get into this, I start realizing that maybe it's going to take a little more than an hour. But we have to move quickly to solve the whole Middle East. I want to talk to you about the idea of an individual, because I found it so different in other countries from the U.S., and that seems to be part of the confusion. Would you talk about that just briefly?
I mean, you know, the thing is that, again, you know, I can't speak for what people from the Arab countries are like, because when I sit around with my Arab friends, a Jordanian is very different from a Lebanese is different from Syrian, and of course then Iranians are also very different. Iranians are extremely individualistic people at the same time that they are very tribal. In other words, and this is the interesting thing about it. This is why communism, for example, in countries like Iran are a joke, because we already live in a sort of a tribal, in a familial kind of a way. We are first friends with members of our own family, and then we go out into society and become friends with everybody else. So in a sense, that sense of individualism in our country, though everybody is their own person and everybody is extremely proud of their own personal achievements, at the same time, there is a thread of ethnic, our own tribes, whatever tribe we come from. And at the same time, on top of all of that, there is a thread of nationalism that runs throughout. Mm-hmm. Now, I realize that nationalism is a dirty word in the U.S., mm-hmm. but to us, it's not. To us, it means that we are the children of Cyrus the Great. We are the children of the man who wrote the first Declaration of Human Rights and the first Declaration of Independence. He was a man who, 2,700 years ago, freed the Jews in Iran. And in the Torah, he is the only non-Jew that has been mentioned 26 times as the anointed one. And so, as far as we're concerned, we are that man's descendants.
You know, that's this really interesting thing. When we were over in China, you know, Teller and I would do magic tricks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we would always try to claim, and I'm speaking we in terms of American magicians, you try to claim you invented everything. Oh, yeah, this is a palm, but it's my style of palm because my little finger is crooked a little bit different than anyone else. Mm-hmm. This is the Pen Gillette palm. And we were talking with Chinese magicians, even when they made innovations, they would say, this is a trick that's been done exactly the same for 400 years. I learned this from my teacher who learned it from his teacher who learned it from his teacher. And it seemed like just for the first time, I had this glimpse of how the rest of the world sees Americans. It's not just the loud, the aggressive, the Bermuda shorts and the cameras. It's the fact that we live without a sense of family and history. I am so proud of my mom and dad, but back beyond that, not only am I not proud of it or don't have a sense of it, I don't even know. I have no idea. I've never bragged about my ancestors, and most Americans, as you know, are like that. And I do believe that's a huge difference for people to try to talk to one another, because we couldn't even do it with magic, and you're trying to do it with guns.
Well, you see, the thing that horrifies me, and you know, having grown up in outside of Iran for many years of my life, as you hear, I mean, I do speak with an American accent, but I also speak five other languages in their own accent, and I speak my mother tongue better than I speak English. Mm-hmm. Now, what I want to say is that when I have shown, because from our part of the world, there is no such thing as that kind of a gray area that you have in the West. Things are shades of white and shades of black, mm-hmm. and that's just what it is. And when you come across as knowing something and being certain of something and being decisive about it, people here get very peeved, mm-hmm. and become very confrontational.
I've noticed
as if
that.
you have no right to have a full-on opinion, whereas people here at the same time are not able to see just how strong they come across as, like you said, the Bermuda shorts wearing, mm-hmm. Hawaiian shirt sporting.
That's me.
Camera guy.
Yeah. I want to take a phone call here because the lines are lighting up like crazy. And let's just get a few of them because, as I said, we have to solve the whole Middle East problem. We've got about a half an hour to do it. Let's take Mike. You're on the air with, of course, Penn and Goudot, but you also have got Banofshe. What's
hey,
up?
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
I'm doing very well, thanks. We're all doing great. What's up?
Here's something that's kind of bothered me since the beginning of this whole issue. And you kind of brought it up earlier, and I wanted to ask you about it. Don't you think it's kind of arrogant that that Americans have this feeling of, well, you know, nothing is going to get solved until we step in and actively do something about it?
No, I don't, actually. It's realistic. And you better stop self-flagellating. It's pretty ugly. It's the stuff that you see, here's the cutoff point of where Americans don't see themselves. And look, I call myself an American, but I'm a new American. You're an old American, okay? First of all, you guys don't understand that your country is in a sense an interesting model. It's a reminiscence of what my country used to be 2,700 years ago. It's a country that believes in meritocracy. Now, what on earth is wrong with that? Do you want to live like Europeans whose governments think and decide for them and are in their underwear drawers? I don't think so. And let me tell you one thing. If you're going to be strong about who you are, which you are, and you have the right to be because you've created a magnificent country, and you should be darn proud of it. And if somebody like me chooses to be here rather than in Europe, then let me tell you, that's good news for you. And the reason why is because that goes to show that I was treated more fairly here than I was in what is now becoming Eurabia. Okay? Europe, if you read the history of socialism, you will read that when hard socialism, meaning the USSR, fell, 30 years later is when soft socialism, which is what Europe is going to fall. Europe is now slowly but surely being invaded by these Islamos. And one of the ways that these people are feeling and dealing with the situation as far as the Islamos in their continent is concerned is that because they're such hardcore racists, because they are such unbelievable imperialists, and because of the fact that they refuse to give up their colonialist attitude, which is so completely outdated, especially when you've got countries like the United States and, let's say, Australia for that matter even, that are based on the nature of meritocracy, and also countries like Iran, because ultimately it's like, great, you go get an education for yourself, you go ahead and make yourself a better life. Nobody's going to stand in your way, and there is no class structure that you have to be pigeonholed in. Given that, the point is that the European, who is the racist, colonialist, imperialist, feudalist, who throws money at the Arab or the Muslim who's ticked off over there, is never going to be able to resolve the problem. What is being done in this country, however, by certain savvy politicians of the left and the right, and I'll tell you, one of the people among the Democrats who I think has a very interesting and very intelligent way of dealing with this situation is Barack Obama. This is one of the Democrats who actually is thinking. And I have to say is that there has to be an understanding that when you are dealing with violence, when you are dealing with people who spin and talk rhetoric constantly and try to confuse you with their issue of victimhood, which is what a lot of Muslims like to do. They basically like to act like victims, whereas, excuse me, I don't think of myself as victim, and certainly neither do the thousands of other intellectual or freedom, free-thinking or secular-minded people from Islamic societies that I know of, that I work with, consider themselves to be. We are not victims. A victim is somebody who's disempowered. I'm not disempowered.
So Mike, no, she doesn't think it's arrogant for us to think we can help out.
Yeah.
I think if you needed it shorter, the shorter would be no. If you're doing yes or no,
yes,
that would
indeed
be no. Thank you so much for calling, Mike. I don't mean to cut you off, Mike, and I don't mean to cut you off, Banerjee, but we are going to take another break, and we are working very quickly to solve this Middle East thing. We'll be right back after this to solve it. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. PENradio@gmail.com. PENradio.com.
LASIK that fits your life and your budget? It's about time. For your free information kit, call 1-800-400-2199. That number again is 1-800-400-2199. 1-800-400-2199.
Warren Snyder called 1-800-FED-INFO for government information. He found something more.
I called them to see how to get a change of address form. So when I moved, all my mail was forwarded, including a sweepstakes letter notifying me that I had won $8 million. That day, 57 women insisted on marrying me. So I called 1-800-FED-INFO again and found out how to get information on two other subjects: how to choose a financial planner and how to file a restraining order.
Call 1-800-FED-INFO. It's government made easy.
Gillette Show on Live 97.1 Free FM.
Penn Fraser Gillette here, born in the USA. Michael Goudeau born in the USA, or at least Louisiana, and Behzad Zan Banafi, who was born in Iran. We're going to try to solve this whole Middle East thing. We're getting out of the way because we have all these comedy shows coming up, real funny shows coming up, and we have found that maybe it's the Middle East, or maybe it's just Anderson Cooper has been harshing our mellow. So we brought my friend Behzad on to answer all the questions about the Middle East. Some person wrote in, listen to this, for just not having faith in Penn Jillette. 1 hour is not enough, this fool says. Does not think I can solve the Middle East in an hour. But the question is followed. It's from a guy named Johnny. Please tell me that this lady has written a book or works for a regular publication or something. It's fascinating, and I want to dig into more information. Can she recommend a book, a website, something? The man is desperate. Give him a fix.
Yes, I can give you definitely the best there is. I have written for many, many different magazines and publications in the U.S. Unfortunately, though I used to be once upon a time a Democrat, none of the Democratic ones want to take what we have to say. I've written stuff for the National Review. I've written stuff for Front Page Magazine, for the New Republic.
Do you have a website that they just go to?
I do. It's called www.iranpressnews.com. What we do is we translate the news that is that Western journalists either willfully ignore and that the Western world should know about. I mean, the craziest stuff that are inside the mullahs' own news agencies and newspapers and their own websites. I sit there and translate this stuff 12 hours a day from Farsi into English and then basically put it out there on my website. But I work with an American...
Just say that website again. I think people are going to want to go to it. And that is your website, and from there they can click around and find other stuff. Is that correct?
Exactly.
So give it very slowly, very clearly. You don't need the www. We all know it's the World Wide Web.
IranPressNews.com.
Okay, IranPressNews.com.
However, for more, for a better, more well-rounded, all-around news of the world, I work with a dear friend who's a blogger and runs the best blog on Iran, hands down. Everybody's voted that for it as that. It's called RegimeChangeIran.com. It's all one word, RegimeChangeIran.com. It is the most comprehensive website that basically not only takes my news, but it has news from all of the other wonderful Iranian activists who write for newspapers and magazines around the world. The one Iranian I recommend to everybody to read is the brilliant Amir Tahiri. His name is spelled A-M-I-R, and his last name is T like Tom, A-H-E-R-I. That guy is probably the one person who can not only give you the most comprehensive geopolitical strategy information about, the Middle East, but he does it with a very, very deep knowledge of the Western world as well.
But that's only, I just want to say, that's only if we don't get it completely solved in the next 15 minutes, because we're probably going to solve it and you become completely and utterly obsolete to our life.
Well, I sure hope so, because, geez, I really want to just go to a beach. That's it. But let me just tell you one thing. There is a solution to all of this. There is a way that things can be resolved. The way that things can be resolved is for the Russians and the Chinese to stop running amok, stop selling their defunct and garbage arms to terrorists like the Islamic Republic of Iran. I highly recommend to Europeans and the Chinese to stop buying oil from these people. These petrodollars is what goes into terrorism. I highly recommend for all of the international banks and investment houses to put the kibosh on every single one of these people's and these organizations' bank accounts and investments. And basically, if they are circumvented in that way, you cut their legs out from underneath them, then there's hope that the Iranian people can rise up and basically deal with the mullahs in our own way. And so my only thing is that people really have to be giving the Iranian people and what we do moral support. We had 160 demonstrations and riots in Iran last year that not one single Western media reported. Not one. On May 1st of 2006, 50,000 hungry Iranian workers came to the streets of Tehran to confront the regime with the corruption and the theft and the shameful way they have treated the people who work in the industries in Iran. And the BBC lied and said 200 people showed up, while I have photographs of an ocean of humanity in the streets of Tehran.
And the
media just keeps lying or omitting information. They've gone around recently saying that this new crazy president of Iran, Ahmadinejad, has 70% popularity in Iran. That's a complete lie.
Let's
70% of 70 million people of Iran are under age 30.
I want to go. I'm gonna cut you off there and go
sure.
to a phone call. Somebody called, and I just want to say this. And you don't even have to comment on this because it's so amazing. We had two or three people call and say, if she doesn't like the United States of America, you know, why doesn't she go somewhere else? The fact is, she made very clear she moved here because she believes it's the best country on earth. You got to pay attention. But I got someone who I think is paying attention. Let's talk to Sarah. How you doing, Sarah?
Yes, hi guys.
How you doing? All doing great. What's up?
Great. Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment on, I'm not really sure what her complete name is, but
just say
on
Bayon,
comment,
fine.
Bed of Shea, right, whatever she was saying. She talks about Muslims having, you know, the extreme Muslims having this scab that they've been carrying around for hundreds and hundreds of years. When in fact, the way she's speaking
I'm not
of,
saying all Muslims,
you know,
I'm
her
saying
history
Islamic
and
radical.
Everything that she's proud of, she's basically saying the same thing. There's no scab that is extremists carry around for that long. The main reason why the Middle East is in such a terrible state right now is because of everything that happened with the Palestinian versus Israeli state.
That's
now,
a,
if we think of it very common sense wise,
That's the most naive and irrational thing I've ever
it is,
heard.
No, it
Have
is
you
not.
Ever
you know, you
part
speak,
of the world,
you,
or
you
Ban,
hear
Ban,
on
Ban,
the radio?
Yo, Ban, let Sarah talk a little bit. Let her go, and then we'll comment.
Everything that she's saying is it sounds like, you know, sensationalism news that comes out of you would expect, you know, Fox News to say to report that, you know, this. They've been holding on to a grudge basically for over 1,000 years and they're here to take revenge and they're here to, you know, claim their rights. That is absolutely not true. She must have gotten her facts mixed up. If you are so intelligent and you supposedly report news, then you should understand what the underlying reasons
Sarah,
are.
Sarah, don't do the Fox News attack and don't do that kind of stuff and if you're this and you're that. Just tell
right.
us what you've got now 10 minutes. I'm only going to give you like a minute of it. How do you solve the Middle East? What do you want to do?
Well, of course, we need peace, but we need peace to be on
and
both
how do you
sides.
And how do you get peace
right?
when people are blowing garbage up? How do you get peace? What do you do?
The reason why they continue to do that is because no one is hearing what they're saying. No one's giving them fair treatment.
So what
oh
you
God,
want... Wait a second. Bam.
When they're blowing
the
people up.
Wait a minute,
Bam. Has, you know, the U.S. backing them up. They have everyone else giving them financial support
Lenny,
as well as political support.
Hold on one second.
They have no one to actually give them what to do. The Hamas party that came into control.
This is a self-fulfilling prophecy. It is now turned into Fox News. We now have two women yelling at each other. Calm down for a second. I'm only going to let... You know, I have your pots down. No one can hear you. They're just hearing me, no one else. They're just yelling at each other on the phone. So let's bring everything back up, and let me just say, I believe, if I can restate what you're saying, Sarah, to make this clear, is that you are saying that essentially America has gone in for oil, we're supporting Israel, and therefore because the Muslims, the radical Muslims, are doing this because no one is hearing their point of view. You want to hear their point of view. What do you believe that is? What do you believe the Muslims want that we aren't listening to?
Okay, well, what they want is fair treatment. What they want is...
No, you didn't, the fair treatment doesn't mean anything.
Fair treatment,
just tell
rights.
Me what they want. Equal rights doesn't mean anything. A fair country. What do they want from us?
They want a Palestinian state. If they have a Palestinian state where their people can live...
What do they have to do with Iran?
Their homes were taken away. This woman is unbelievable. Can you let somebody talk? Can you let someone else talk besides
yourself? No, but you tell me, why the hell do the Iranian people have to pay
the price?
Here's what we're going to do. Unbelievable.
Here's what we're going to do.
You know about what price my people have paid. Did you know that in 1906 that these Islamo-fascists bombed the parliament of my country when the democratic people wanted democracy? Do you know what even the history of our part of the world is? Or are you just a kitchen table American?
No, I just wants to sit there
and listen to the garbage.
No, I don't think so. I'm an American citizen. This woman is unbelievable. She will not let anyone talk about her.
I have heard garbage from people like you, and I've run away from the people that you are.
Just one second here. What you don't understand, Sarah, is that she has lived in Iran. Her father is now, as we speak, in prison. You've talked to the people who had people killed in 9/11, the families of those people. When you say that the terrorists who were flying those airplanes had a good point of view and you want to listen to it, you do get people angry. What you are saying to my friend is that you believe that the people who killed her friend and friends and family and are keeping her father imprisoned are peaceful people and you should give them more. That's why you get that kind of reaction. That's precisely what you said.
She's above and beyond what I'm trying to get across. And she doesn't understand what I'm saying. So you're confusing. Secondly, can you be quiet for one minute?
You've only got 30 seconds, and Ban will not say a word. So say what you're trying to say.
Well, she assumes that I'm an American. I am an American citizen, but I have lived. I'm also a citizen of Afghanistan. I am an Afghan, so I know I've lived there, and I know what it does to the country. I've grown here just as she has lived for all these years. I've lived in America, and I know that here it's safer and it's more prosperous. But at the same time, she's assuming that I have no idea what's going on, and that's not true.
That's your 30 seconds. Thank you. Goodot, take that out. I just don't want this to turn into Fox News screaming. But now we're down. We have eaten up a lot of time that we spent yelling at Sarah. We now have about a minute. Is there a way can sum up your point of view, Ban, in just as clear and as gentle a 30 seconds as you possibly can?
Well, you know, we've tried and tried and tried for it so kindly, so gently. We've begged, we've pleaded, we've given documentation, photographs of everything that's happened to our people. The fact that our culture and our country is being eradicated in order to feed terrorists. Now, here's the toss-up. Do people want people like me who just get emotional and a little bit hot under the collar around, who can have discussions and who can do things productively, or do they want a guy who's just kicked off and it doesn't even want to have a dialogue or live by the rules of law and just wants to blow people up? Take your pick. And this lady,
Banishan?
I'm sure, cannot be Afghani because none of my Afghani friends who I work with would agree
That's
with
That's Banafshay, Zan, Banazi, my good friend. We didn't quite solve the Middle East, but that won't stop us. Lewis Black on Monday and Monkey Tuesday on Tuesday. Thank you so much, man. Thanks so much. Man, that Middle East thing is hot, isn't it, Goodell? Let's go back to talking about monkeys.